Hey, I wanted to, as they're making their way out here, I wanted to welcome those that are here today with us. Welcome those that are joining us online. I know that Tina, the Schmidt family, mom's in the hospital, so I had some time with her yesterday, so I know you're watching. Good morning. Cindy's usually not here. She's been recovering from her cancer treatment, so I know she's watching, so just say good morning to her. My name is Rob. I am the lead pastor of this church, and I am so grateful to be able to minister to you this morning. I had January off, so there's a lot in me right now. You know, I just want to kind of, so we'll see how long we can go here. We do have a second service, so at some point we do need to stop. We'll get into trouble. Hey, this afternoon, though, hey, I want to encourage you to come back. If you're not a member of our church and you've thought about it over the years, you actually need to sign up to be a member of our church. And so there's a bit of a document here. It's on the back wall. But I want to really strongly encourage you to come back at 1 o'clock today. It's a free lunch, so I know you've got to, you know, end here at about 11. You got to go home, and you kind of come all the way back. But hey, we do this once a year. And so just a once a year, just kind of, I know a lot of you are here. I can see you attended it, and you've signed up. That's great. There's no pressure here as a church to become a member, like we're going to twist your arm or something. But you've got some practical questions you would like to have answered, and I'd love to answer them for you over a nice lunch. Very relaxed environment. So please come back for that if you're interested. I know the last time we did it, it was just, there was a mob of people. That's, I mean, a good way, but I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize so many people were interested in that. So it was good to see. So I want to encourage you to come out as well. Let's look at the Word of God this morning. I want to encourage you, open up your Bibles, pull the Pew Bible out from in front of you. If you've got your Pew Bible, it's page 25, just in case you were wondering. We're in the book of Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis 32. And I want to just read a short piece of scripture here, and then we want to give a bit of context, because sometimes we jump into a story too often, and we're not really sure where it is. But here we go, in verse 24. Genesis 32. So it said, so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him, like you're wrestling through your pages. Yes, I can hear you. Until daybreak. And so who was this man? If we were to read just a little bit further into verse 28, it says, then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but now will be Israel, because you have struggled or wrestled with God and with men and have overcome. And so Jacob wrestled with God. That's just a really deep thought right there. But we've got to, again, understand the context of where this landed. And I want you to know I learned something brand new here, and I want to share it with you today. Now, if you're here this morning, you're thinking, I probably know where he's going. You can just nudge your neighbor and say, I know where he's going to go. And then at the end of it, when I tell you, and it's new information, then you can nudge it back and say, I actually didn't know that either. So, you know, we're cool like that. Anyways, we'll have some fun here. If you don't have a Bible, get a neighbor, you know, get close to somebody. Let's look at it together. We're going to look at Genesis 32. But here's some context again of what's going on in this chapter. So we get to know Jacob a little bit here. He's traveling, and then he gets alone with the Lord because he had sent over across this river basically everything that he owned. And if we were to read in verses 14 and 15 of this very chapter, Genesis 32, it says that he traveled with his two wives, multiple servants. And then it says that he gave a portion as a gift to his brother to make amends. And I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But the portion that he's given to his brother as a gift is, you know, livestock. He gave 200 female goats and 20 male goats and, you know, 30 or 40 rams and female camels and their young and 40 cows and 10 bulls and 20 female donkeys and 10 donkeys. Like all this stuff he just gave us just a portion. You know, when we have our belongings or our, you know, even finances, we say, well, just going to give just a gift, you know, just give a portion of it away. So he had way more than that. And that's a lot right there that he just gave away. I don't know about you, I said earlier that I do have four kids, and I don't say this like in a negative context, but I actually just have one wife, not like, you know, Jacob, he had two, you know, multiple lots of stuff. I don't have a herd or, you know, like a zoo. I just have four kids. And so for me, though, just to find a quiet time, as Jacob found here, is sometimes challenging. Again, not like in a negative way, like, oh, my kids are so busy, you know, like not like that, but just like you're scheduled, you have to work. You have to take care of that van where the key doesn't work anymore. And that thing, you know, you got to change a tire. You got to mow the grass. You got to shovel. Oh, you don't shovel the snow, right? You got to push the rocks or, you know, you can't shovel water right now. But like, it just, the list goes on and on of things that we have to do. And then to find alone time And quiet time can be challenging for us. This world is very busy, lots going on. And so Jacob here finally gets alone. He has some quiet time. Now, this gentleman, Jacob, though, we find in the story, though, is that he's been running from his father-in-law because his father-in-law tricked him to marry one of his daughters, the one he didn't want. So then he kind of conjured up this idea so that he could marry the one he wanted. And then he earned his freedom, so he just ran away from his father-in-law, took a bunch of the animals with him. You know, in recent history, it was chaotic and messy. He had to face difficult challenges. He had cheated his brother. So, you know, when you do something wrong, you're just kind of like waiting, like, somebody's going to bust me one day. And so Jacob's got the sense of, like, he's going to get busted one day. So he's had a difficult situation. He's facing difficulties. And so often we ourselves personally, I find this, is that I'll just get busy. I don't really want to face what's going on. And then there's even an altar call time or a time of quiet, and we're like, I'm not going forward. I'm not going to confess or repent. I'm going to go crank my wrench or do something to stay busy because I don't want to face what's really going on inside here. And Jacob has this moment here where he's able to quiet himself and get alone with God, and we see what happens here. So we get busy. We don't want to stop and face reality. So Jacob is left alone here, we read in verse 24. He wrestles with a man, and it says that he wants the blessing. He says, I want a blessing. And you think about like an earthly blessing. You know, we would want, you know, as a father or, you know, your parents, you're like, you want a blessing. You want to bless your kids. But I really want a heavenly father blessing. I want a blessing from above. I want a blessing that cannot turn to rust or fall apart, or the key doesn't work in your van anymore. Right? I want like a spiritual blessing here. And so this is what is about to happen in this story. So what I have missed for years and years and years when I read the story is because we know Jacob, we can read here, he's wrestling with God, he gets a new name, and he gets blessed by God. But there's something here that we miss out on sometimes. And this is where I'll see how many of you nudge your friends like, I didn't know that or I didn't know that. Let's, here we go. And if you all know, that's great. Just let me enjoy this moment, okay? You know, I learned something new. Just have some fun with me here. So Genesis 27, verse 18. So we've got to back the bus up. So I don't know what page that would be in your pew Bible. Let's go to Genesis 27. Let's just back up a tiny bit here. And we're going to read a bit of a story about Jacob when he's messing around with his brother here. So Genesis 27, starting in verse 18. Now, we'll just unpack it as we go. He went to his father and said, my father. Yes, my son, he answered. Who is it? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau. Now, Jacob had a brother, Esau, so he's pretending to be Esau. I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have told me. Please sit up and eat some of the game so that I may get your blessing. Isaac asked his son, how did you find meat so quickly and be able to make the stew for me? The Lord gave me success. Now he's lying there, he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not. Now, Isaac is blind. He can't really see very well. Jacob went close to his father, Isaac, who touched him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob. Even his father is confused, but the hands are the hands of Esau because he had put some, you know, hairy animal on his head. He did not recognize him, but for his hands were hairy like his son Esau, so he blessed him. You really are my son, Esau, he asked. I am, he replied, in a lie. Then he said, my son, bring me some of that game to eat so I may give you my blessing. Deception 101. He's lying about who he is so that he can get the blessing. And so we see that for 20 years, he's hung on to that stress of knowing that he's manipulated, he's lied, he's running around. And then he runs into a man that he wrestles with when he is alone. See, this encounter that he had, it altered his trajectory and it moved him past his failures because he got a new name and he got a blessing when he faced this man face to face. And when we read that again, let's go back to Genesis 32 just for a moment, because sometimes I think we just move right past this part of it. But Jacob, this is verse 26, replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." Again, he wants the blessing. In verse 27, the man asked him, "What's your name?" And I'm sure in that moment he thought, I remember the last time I got asked that question, I didn't give the truth. This time he tells the truth. Wow. Isn't that just a deep thought? Now nudge your neighbor and said, "I already knew that. You know, pastor doesn't know nothing, right?" You know, like, there's this deep thought. What is your name? What are you facing? What are you struggling with? What are you going through? And when you sit with the God of the eternal heaven and kingdom, and he asks you who you are and what you're doing, your response is really important. Like, what is your name? You are a son and daughter of the Most High. That's who we are. And so when we sit in his presence, some of us, we wouldn't want to sit in God's presence. If you're thinking about right now, maybe you've, like Jacob, you've cheated and you've manipulated and you've stolen and you've ripped. I've done that for a lot of the years of my first life. But then I met with God. And God gave me a fresh perspective on my life. When I sat with him and he spoke to me. Wow. Do you see the difference there? Yes, he wrestled. Yes, he got the blessing. Yes, he got the new name. But he asked him a direct question because he wants to help you. He wants to free us. Isn't that just a wonderful thing? Yeah, we got blessing. Man, it's all around us. We just, this morning, we are so blessed. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we sit here 91 years of history in this church and a blessing in Terrace, and God brought us all together. We're wonderful. We got all this kind of nice stuff and cameras and, you know, suits and whatever, nice Bible. You can pull out of the pew and do whatever you want. All that kind of stuff. But actually, are you okay this morning? Or like Jacob for so many years, do you have a face on? When God asks you your name, how are you doing this morning? It's time to be transparent, time to be honest. Don't wait 20 years. What are we waiting for to get free? Why are we running from it? Stop being busy, slow down, because otherwise if you don't slow down, one day you'll melt down or you'll break down because you aren't facing it. It says scientifically that if we don't face the internal struggles, it comes out usually in anxiety. 40% of Americans in the last year are more anxious than they were last year. Why is that? Don't face what's going on. We're afraid to face our fears. There's a couple quotes here, and I don't like to use people's names because sometimes things go sideways. So I'm just going to say there was these people gave this wonderful quote. For many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith, but it is that we will become so distracted and so rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of life and faith and just skim our lives instead of actually living it the way God intended. We need to get free. Another quote said this. One said that if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. Because sin and busyness have the exact same effect. Cut us off from God, cut us off from people, and cut us off from our soul. Then there's some deep thoughts, eh? The creator of one of the personality tests that Omni and I love going through and looking at, it says this. Now, this is a quote from here, not me. I'm just saying, you know, like, let's be nice to each other. Hurry is not the devil. Hurry is not of the devil. Hurry, it is the devil. We get so busy. Anyways, that's just a quote there. I just thought that one was for fun. This little third nugget there for you. So what are we feeling right now? Please don't feel a heavy shame. Please don't feel that we're here like my objective today and my agenda today is just to make us feel terrible. Like I feel this as well. I need to be with God. I need to be free of some things. Because the speed that we live at in the Western culture in North America is just hurry and busy and go faster and break the speed limit every time you drive. I was just reading somebody said, do something rebellious and drive the speed limit. You know, just like, just totally annoy people. What's this guy doing? 50? What an idiot. You know, like, go flying around. You're like, just to be radically different. And the solution, it's very simple, is that we need to slow down and be in God's presence so that we can adopt his practices, his morals, his ethics, his theological stances, so that we can apply them to our lives so that we can live a certain lifestyle that would be honoring to him. And that's where we'll find joy. That's where we'll find peace and happiness. You can try and conjure it up all you want. You can buy that new screen TV. I am going to buy one because it's just, you know, it's on sale. But that's, you know, for a moment, you know, in that moment when I put it on the wall, the kids will be like, hallelujah. And the next day they'll be like, that's old, you know, it's out of date. It's not even working. The buttons won't work because your dog chewed on it, for crying out loud. You know, we all know that. We'll feel that kind of up and that down. But God is so faithful and he's consistent. He wants to be there every moment of every day for us. That's the story of Jacob we find in the Old Testament. But I don't know where you live, man. I'm not that old. I mean, I live in the New Testament. I live where Jesus walked on this earth, and I want to see Jesus walk this lifestyle. Let me show it to you in Mark. Let's flip ahead to Mark. You got yourself the Pew Bible. That's in 707. So we're going to go to Mark chapter 1. We're going to hear about Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Let's read a big hunk of scripture here now. We got Mark chapter 1, jumping in verse 21. I don't need to give some context as we read it. It'll make itself real clear. They went out to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. So it's a Sabbath day. Jesus is in the synagogue. People were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook and the man violently came out of him with a shriek. The people were so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? Like new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, same day, they went to James and John, to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. And they took took her by the hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, same day, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove up many demons, and he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Don't keep reading. Look up. One day. That is a big day. So if we see, it was like a marathon day. You ever have one of those days? You know, he's teaching at the synagogue in the morning, tries to go for lunch. Somebody's sick. He's got to heal them. All of a sudden, the whole town's bringing all their sick and demon-possessed to him. He's up super late. He's exhausted. Then we read verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house by himself, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Thank you, Jesus. We all have days. Today is one of those days for me. Two services, membership class. I shouldn't even say this out loud because you're going to get distracted. There's some kind of game on TV with a pigskin round thing they're going to boot around. That's a trophy or whatever. The Olympics could be on too. What am I doing tomorrow? Because today's already full. Look what Jesus did. Got up early so that he could be in a solitary. He's the Son of God. Why? He doesn't need to. Why did he even sleep, eat? Oh, you know, he's still in his humanly body. He needed to do these things. And he did them as an example for us so that we are really without excuse. My schedule's too full. Jesus' schedule is full. He's a busy guy, super popular guy, but he still found time to be alone with his Father. We have authority over our schedule each week. We have to find time. Man, that's the cry of my heart today. It speaks to me. I've been challenged by this. I hope it challenges you as well. We have to find time to be with the Lord, to find a solitary place to be alone. Now, what isn't it? What am I not saying, though? Because there's a difference between silence and solitude and like isolation. Isolation would bring like an escape. I got to escape something, but solitude is like an engagement. I want to engage with my God. Solitude would be a place of like safety. Isolation is like dangerous. I'm just going to go away and be myself in the bush forever. I just want to be around people because they're dangerous. Like, that's not good. Solitude is how we open ourselves up to God. And isolation is like painting a target on your back for the enemy to take you out. We need to be in community with people and then solitude and silence with our God. There's intention there. If I think about those words, a solitary place, I find it in the New Testament just a handful of times. I'm going to show you two other places so we can understand why it's so important that when we face life and we have full schedules and we just try and live, that we have to find a solitary place. Let's go to Matthew. So we're in Mark. We're just going to flip back just a tiny bit. Matthew 14. And I'm just going to read the verse and then we'll kind of unpack it just a tiny bit. So Matthew 14, 13. We look at the subheading, it says, Jesus feeds 5,000. That's what we're going to read. And then after that, he walks on the water. We can see that. But the very first verse says this, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. What had he just heard? We go back to the previous heading of Matthew 14. It says, John the Baptist is beheaded. He catches ear of his disciple share with him that one of his best friends, you know, his compadre, as a family member, is dead. So what's his first response? He goes to be in a solitary place. You know what? When we lose somebody, take time off. Don't isolate yourself, but be in silence and solitude with God because God wants to help you through that. God knows that. He wants to work with you on that one. This is Jesus. I'm not even suggesting this. This is what Jesus did when he lost a close friend. What do we do when we lose somebody that's close to us? Let's jump back to Mark. I apologize. We should have just left a marker in there. Mark chapter 6. It's a very similar setting, but Mark picks up on a couple different cues here. So we're in Mark 6, starting in verse 30. It says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And what had they done and taught? Because in Mark chapter 6, we would go back and read that Jesus sends out the 12. So Jesus sends the 12 out. They come back and they report to him all that they had done. Verse 31, then because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. Oh my gosh, no cheese and no chocolate. This is terrible, man. Where's my soup? I need my bread. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, we read again. When life is so busy, you ever done that? You're so busy, you realize you're like, I'm feeling a bit faint. You look at it, oh my gosh, it's 3 or 4 o'clock. I haven't even had lunch yet. Then make sure you make time to recuperate from that. Go and find a place where you can be quiet. Super important. Here's the challenge that we find sometimes is when we get alone and we're quiet. I love the outdoors, man. I'm an introvert. Get me outside and let me find some mushrooms or something for fun. You know, when you're out in the wilderness, so I had my daughter with me, and all of a sudden there's crashing in the bushes. What do you think? What kind of emotion do you have? You're not thinking about mushrooms anymore. You're thinking about, oh my gosh, where's the bear spray? Where's the gun? Where's my daughter? I'm going to protect her. I'm like, we're going to go 3 rounds with this, whatever it is in the bushes. And I might lose something, but it's on. That's the way you're feeling. You know, you ever been out in the bushes before? And I've had this happen. All of a sudden you hear like rumbling. There's like a rock coming down, like a rock face, like an avalanche coming down. And you're like, you know, I need to get behind a tree, you know, like. Actually, this is a fun one. I didn't even put it in there. There you go. Firefighting, when I did that, when I first got out of high school, we would fight fires in the bushes, and they would always send a little plane, just a little indicator plane, about where the water bomber is coming. So you see a little plane, that means this water bomber is coming this way, so I need to get behind the tree. Otherwise, the weight of the water and the wind will just zonk me right out. And so because of that little water bomber, I'm like, who cares about the hose right now? I need to get behind this tree, right? I don't want to get totally, you know, wiped out. So that would be another situation. Or any kind of thing where you're in the wilderness and all of a sudden you hear something, your senses are heightened. And so often in this world, when we live it right now, our senses are always being flooded with noise and distraction and devices and all these kind of things that we're, our emotional insides are heightened and we're almost on alert. And I'm trying to have a relationship with you, or I'm trying to get quiet with God, but I'm in fear mode. I'm in sensory mode. We have to get alone. Don't bring your phone. Just bring you. Give yourself a time. Give yourself a space. Get in a closet. Whatever you got to do, just to be silent. Hold your Bible. Okay, God, what are we up to? Bring a little notepad. I bring a sticky with me because your mind is just ridiculous. Don't forget to do this thing later. Write it down. So don't forget now. Don't forget this kind of thing. Man, I've spent a whole hour sometimes just like trying to get my mind to shut up and get things out of my head so I can listen. So if we make it a bit of a routine, then we will get there one day. So don't take it lightly. Don't think you've wasted an hour, but spend that time. It's super important. I talked about introverts and extroverts just for a moment. It's really important. Because I'm an introvert, my energy, like the Energizer Bunny, when I'm alone quiet, my energies come back. And for some of us, you want to go to the party this afternoon because when you're with people, then your energies come back. This has nothing to do with about silence and solitude with the Lord. It's like, well, introverts really have it easy. They can get alone with God and make that. This has nothing to do with that. You can go to the party, get all energized, and then go find a quiet space to be with Jesus. I'll go in the bushes or go get lost and go fishing so I can have my energies released. But that's not time with the Lord. I'm talking about ice, solitude, and silence with the Lord. Just me and Jesus. No other distractions. It is hard to do, but we've got to do it. Like, we've got some options in life. We can just keep being mediocre and just kind of going through the motions, or we can get serious about this. I want to be in relationship with God. I read this great book that talked about eternity now. Like, I'm not like one day I will pass away and one day I will be in eternity with Jesus. But what about right now? What about today? I want to live with him today. I want to know him today. I want to walk with him today. And you can do that. We can do that when we make space in our schedule each week. Let's say as an example, I know some of you are maybe a little concerned as Almi and I went to a marriage retreat. You're thinking, uh-oh, you know. It was to, what was the word that they used? Kind of like refine, preventative maintenance on your marriage. So we went away. It's great. We're doing fine. Lovely. So good. Love to do it again. But imagine if Almi said to me, she said, babe, is it okay if once a week we just have an hour together? And then on the weekend, maybe we could have 1 or 2 hours together? And I said, I'll have to look at my schedule. I'm quite busy. I don't know if we can make that happen. Like, what? You know, this is my wife. Like, what kind of relationship would I have with her if I wouldn't give her at least an hour on the weekday and maybe a couple hours on the weekend? Like, that's just the bare minimum to survive this relationship, let alone invest in it. And then I come to Jesus, and God looks at me, and he says, would it be okay if we spent an hour together? Maybe just a little bit on the weekend together, just me and you. You know, nobody else, just the two of us. No devices, just me and you. I'm going to have to check my schedule, God. You know, I'm quite busy. I'm not sure if we can make that happen. Like, that's ludicrous thinking. I do that often. I'm sure some of you might too as well. You know, let's get all into the same boat. Don't throw me in the boat by myself over here to my own isolated place. Like, for real. Like, we have got to make space. We have got to shift. This is a brand new year. This church is heading in a certain direction, and we are going to get into God's word, and we're going to learn the truths and the practices, and we're going to apply them to our lives for the greater good. We've got to get this right. I really hope you're on point with this. It's like, you have a schedule this week. I'm not going to follow up with you. Like I said at the door, I was watching you walk in with your Bibles. So I can, hey, that guy's got his Bible today. Came all the way from Smithers. Cool, I love that. That guy's awesome. Love his family. You know, whatever you come from, like, bring the Bible. Even if you just flip it open, just leave it there. Got my Bible. You know, bring it today. And then you take your little index little thingy, just put it right in there. You know, that's what we were preaching on today. I'm going to just spend some quiet time with Jesus. I'm going to reread what I heard about on Sunday because I want it to stick. I want it to land somewhere so that it will still be there when I go through Monday and Tuesday and Thursday, because we kind of have two options when you hear a message. You know, we can neglect the word. Never mind my stories and my, you know, shenanigans and all that kind of stuff, but when you heard the word, like, will we put it into practice? We have two options. We can just, nice message, Pastor. Really appreciate the good word. Or we can apply it. I mean, I want it to apply it. And so what are we going to do? We're going to apply it to our lives. We're going to find some time to be alone with Jesus. Let me give you just a couple scriptures as we're in closing here. You can flip there if you want. I'm going to go quick, though. I apologize. John 10:10, easy to remember. The thief comes only to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Thank you, Jesus. I would like that kind of a life. Psalm 16, because you've got to give an Old Testament one, 16:11 says, you have made known to me the path. This book makes known to us the path of how to live. You will fill me with joy in your presence. When I'm alone with Jesus, I get filled with joy, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I don't have to wait for eternity to have pleasures at my right hand. God wants to give them to us. See, if we think back to Jacob, you know, he needed to get alone with God so that he could hear his new name, so that he could get the blessing, so that he could be healed. We see Jesus walking, Jacob and Jesus, two J's, good guys. Jesus even desired to get away from the crowd so that he could be close to his heavenly Father. And so you and I need to do the same. Even in our busyness and we're so, our schedules are so full, we've got to find time in our weekly schedule to be alone with Jesus. Watch what will happen. I say this so often, and I said this to you last week. I said, hey, I wear a lanyard when I used to work in retail that said, I love Jesus. Because I wanted people to know that I worship God. But my life should reflect. I shouldn't have to actually wave a Jesus flag around. What comes out of me and how I live should be that way. Watch what happens here in Acts. So the church is just beginning, Acts chapter 4. Church is beginning. People are going out. Poor disciples are getting arrested. They're being accused of all kinds of things. And then it says in here, Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with a friend, a good leader. They attended the big church in town. They had been with flipping Jesus, man. Like, yes, oh man, isn't that wonderful? Somebody looks at you like, that guy has to be a Christian. Look at his lifestyle. Look at the way he lives. Look at the joy. His house just burnt down. He's like, praise Jesus. He tried to get in his van. He couldn't get in. Praise Jesus. You know, like, there's just this unspeakable joy that wells up inside of us that we cannot hold it back. You've been with Jesus this morning. What will that affect your day and this week? I don't know. I really want to encourage you today. We do this all the time, and some of us are in seasons where we just need to hear that message today. And we have our quiet space up here. These altars, like every Sunday, somebody should be at the altar. Every Sunday, somebody should be going through something like, I need to bring that to Jesus because I need to just touch the hem of his garment so I could be saved and healed for what I'm going through. I just want this moment of silence to be with me and Jesus, no distractions. I double dog challenge you this week to get into your schedule like a full hour. Just write it in there. You gotta cancel that meeting with those friends of yours. You need more time with Jesus. You know, I'm just being fun. I'm fun. I'm gonna be careful. I'm gonna get in trouble. Anyways, there we go. I should stop. Thank you, Jesus. I'll close in prayer now. Father, wow, we just love your word. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, as we just hold it, I just pray, oh God, that it would just minister deep into our soul and our spirit and our heart, God, that it would change us from the inside out as we read that people would recognize that we are with Jesus. We've been close to Jesus, and because of that, something is radically different about us. Father, as our minds, we need a renewal of our mind. It says that as we hear your word, it has the authority and power to transform our thinking and our minds. Please help us to set up guardrails and boundaries in our mind. Please help our mind to desire and follow and chase after you in Jesus' name. Give us the right thoughts and a right heart now as we go about our day. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.